Yesterday, in anticipation of the CPI numbers, we had Bitcoin jump from 59,000 to 61,000 because the market was expecting good CPI numbers. And the market got, well, exactly what it expected. And now what Bitcoin is doing is it's pretty much doing nothing. It's moving sideways because everything was already priced in. But there is something that is not priced into this market. And I think that everyone's missing it. And it happens every 5 years. And I think that when the market realizes what it is, the market's really going to move. And it's going to be the altcoin market which actually moves first. Now, this situation only happens once every 5 years. And I'm seeing it in the charts today. And I want to show you exactly what it is and why it's going to move alts. And I'm also going to show you why someone has called one of the byproducts of this probably bigger than the ETFs. And I'm not kidding, you'll see it, it's at the end of the show. I came across it today and it's something that I really have to share with you guys. So let's talk about CPI, let's get the rest of the show on the road so we can actually get to the juice, the meat and potatoes, this event that only happens once every 5 years. Let's go, guys. You know, when something is baked into the price, something is baked into the price, and the market was expecting the CPI data. That's why we got the green candle yesterday, which took us from 59,000 all the way back up to 61,000. The market was expecting a slightly better than expected CPI figure, and that was already priced in. And now, basically, we've got the market moving sideways, and that's what's happening. And I kind of forecast this. So earlier on today, on the Front Runners morning call, which is our Discord, we have a morning call every morning, I told all the researchers to guess the price of Bitcoin within 24 hours after the announcement of the CPI. I kind of said, look, if it's under 3, we're going to 62,000. If it's 3, it's 61,500. And if it's above 3, we're going under, or we're going to 60,000. Because I just don't think that CPI is what's going to be moving the data. And now we can actually see that that's the case. So we're going to talk about CPI, but that's not what the show is about today. The show is about something. There are a few big things happening in specifically altcoins. One of them, it happens once every 5 years. And if you catch it once every 5 years, you'll end up making all the amazing returns. And that's really where I want to spend the bulk of our time on the show today. I also want to show you a development in the crypto markets that has been likened to the size of the ETFs. Now, I don't think it's as big as the ETFs, but I do think that some people are talking about it. It's important that we know about it. So that is what today's about. If you're new to the channel, what are you waiting for? Subscribe to the channel. If you are one of the Banter fam already, well, smash the like button, obliterate the like button, destroy this content. The more likes we get, the more our spreadsheet shows that the more views we get. So we need you guys to really, really, really destroy that like button so we can get the views up here. That's all we get for doing all of this. All right, let's get the show on the road. Let's quickly talk about where we are at. Let's look at the charts. As I said, everything was already priced in. You could see Bitcoin went up to 61,708 in anticipation of the data. We got the data. The forecast was 3% on CPI inflation. The number we got was 2.9% on CPI inflation. So we came in just a little smidgen under the expectation. Core CPI was exactly what we thought. Let me kill that. Core CPI was exactly what we thought core CPI would actually be. But it's not all as it seems. If you look at what this Nick Tamara says, and they call him the Fed Whisperer, he says, the CPI rose 0.17 in July in line with estimates. This lowered the 12-month rate to 3.2%, which is the lowest since May 2021. The six-month annualized rate fell to 2.8%, which is the lowest since March 2021. The three-month annualized rate was 1.6%, the lowest since March 2021. So basically, what he's saying is, this is the lowest inflation that we've had since before COVID, since March 2021. And so pretty much now the market is forecasting, or the market must forecast, that the Fed is going to start reducing interest rates in September. Now, I did something very, very smart. This was what the interest rate expectations were before the CPI readings came out. So before the CPI numbers came out, the market expected 50.5% of the participants in the market expected a double rate cut. This was done straight after the CPI. And so now the market has gone from expecting two rate cuts to only really expecting one rate cut in September, which is what I've been saying all along. I don't think that Powell is going to come out the blocks and drop interest rates by 2 rate cuts on the first rate cut. But given the CPI data that we've just got, and given the fact that, as Nick says, he says that we are in the best CPI data since 2001, then pretty much now Jerome Powell really can't deny the rate cuts any longer. It's just, he pretty much, he can't do that. Especially if with all these recession indicators which are flashing, the Pearson indicator, which we spoke about, I think now if Powell didn't drop interest rates at the September meeting, it would almost be seen as if he was late again. And the last time he was late was around dealing with inflation, and he's been getting a lot of flack for that. So I think chances are, after this inflation reading, we definitely are getting the rate cut, the single rate cut that we expected in September. For me, more exciting than all that is that we've had a rough week. We've had the Japanese cash and carry trade. We've had Mt. Gox selling. We've had pretty much every headwind that you can ever imagine. And we are still over this trend line over here. Not only are we over this trend line over here, but buy side volume has actually started to come in. Now, obviously we need more volume, but the volume is starting to come back. And what I read today, and I know this tweet wasn't supposed to be like a serious tweet, but Andre from DWF says, market activation is coming, almost back from vacation. Now, I know that you're thinking to yourself, okay, but that's just Andre and he's just DWF. But what he's saying is true. People are starting to come back from vacation. People are starting to be a little bit more active. Right now, as we know, you know, the selling that says sell in May and go away, the adage that says sell in May and go away, we are at that point where everyone sold in May, went away, and there was pretty much no interest in crypto, right? And so what's going to happen is, at some point, people are going to start to come back. People are going to almost come back from vacation. You can see the volumes are starting to pick up as per Rec Capital. And people are going to start coming back. And what you can see right now is that right now, interest in Bitcoin and crypto is at an all-time low. Sentiment is at an all-time low. Retail thinks it's over. Selling volume shows that even the short-term holders have capitulated. The sellers have also dried up. There's just no more sellers. What more do you want to invest? Not financial advice, just do your own research. That's what this tweet says. And I think there's a massive catch-up trade. There is the catch-up trade of everybody coming back to work. There is the catch-up trade to equities, which we've spoken about a lot, and I don't think we should speak about it again right now. There is the catch-up trade to gold. And if you look at the Bitcoin fractal relative to the gold fractal, you can kind of see that gold has already exceeded its all-time highs. And Bitcoin is still stuck in that suppressed fractal. Maybe it's because of Mt. Gox. Maybe it's because of the US government selling. I don't know what it is. I don't know what has been suppressing the price. But the price has been, you could say, suppressed. And now there's a massive catch-up trade. And I agree with Andrew Kang that if gold is going to go up, Bitcoin needs to go up. He's saying by the end of the month, Bitcoin gets to 66 and ETH gets to 29. End of the month, I think he's probably right. Maybe he's a little bit conservative, but he's probably right. I think I tend to agree with him on that. But there's the other catch-up trade, which is about the global liquidity trade, which, I mean, we've been talking about a lot, and I don't want to spend the whole show around global liquidity, but global liquidity is increasing. This is the chart of M2 money supply. You can see here the chart of M2 money supply. And M2 money supply has now gone into price discovery. It's broken the top trend over here and has now gone into price discovery. And Bitcoin is a function of liquidity and M2 money supply. There's nothing you could say about that. And I want to just show you that if you look at the stablecoin supply in crypto, which is the amount of stablecoins in crypto, they seem to be on the increase. They usually increase when global liquidity increases. So as global liquidity increases, more money goes into crypto and we get higher stablecoin supply. And you can see that right now. So you're in this position where there's going to be this massive catch-up trade pretty soon. When this catch-up trade actually happens, you've got all these amazing things happening. And then at the same time, what you have is you have a base which isn't selling their Bitcoin. 45% of Bitcoin supply hasn't moved at all. Just these are people that are, we buy, we sell, that's what we do. And the holder base of Bitcoin is actually becoming stronger and stronger. Okay, so like, just look at these things that are starting to come out now about the new step change in who's holding Bitcoin. Yes, we've had Larry Fink come out and say, you know, like, I was wrong about Bitcoin and stuff like that. But that's words. And words need to translate into actual action. And the action is that the holder base of Bitcoin is actually becoming a much stronger holder base. So we've got the Swiss National Bank that owns 466,000 shares of MicroStrategy, which basically means that they are holding 466,000 shares of Bitcoin, because MicroStrategy is literally just a leveraged Bitcoin play. Goldman Sachs says that they own, in all of these ETFs, they own a huge amount of crypto in the ETFs. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, they are all becoming the new holder base of Bitcoin. And it's actually not only Bitcoin, it's actually Bitcoin and ETH. If you look at ETH, ETH is starting to get amazing inflows. So we had all the outflows, and now we've had 2 days in a row of net inflows on ETH, which is amazing to think that. I mean, I saw this tweet from Michael, Crypto Michael. He says, the amount of ETH staked is 30%. The increased supply in 2024 is 170 million. The inflows into the ETF in the past 10 days is 130 million. If this inflow starts to pick momentum, the impact on Ethereum's price is going to be significantly higher than Bitcoin. And I tend to agree with him. Right now, ETH has got headwinds. Jump, I've heard from good sources, is closing down their operation, and they hold a whole lot of ETH. And I think they're going to keep selling it. ETH-E is going to start selling all its ETH. But then it's going to be over. And then what's going to happen is we're going to move into the next part of ETH cycle, and particularly the alt cycle. So that is how I see it. I think that inflation pretty much, I mean, it was priced in. And I just want to quickly just check the Bitcoin price, just because I want to just see that. Yeah, I mean, it was priced in. Now you're going to get the sellers of the news, and then the market's going to start going up. I stick by my thesis that tomorrow we're at 61,500 or maybe even 62,000, something like that. But let's stop talking about inflation. We are going to talk about inflation, but it's a different kind of inflation. Let's talk about this thing that I told you in the beginning of the show. And this thing at the beginning of the show was, it was around altcoins. And I've said for a while that I think that altcoins are going to, at some stage, everything's going to turn around and altcoins are going to start running. And I know we're tired of hearing it, and I know it never happens. But ultimately, even the biggest altcoin bears and the biggest Bitcoin maxis are starting to say the same thing. Even Benjamin Cowen, he says, I think Bitcoin dominance will top around 60% in September and December, and then it will start going down in 2025. That means that altcoins will run relative to Bitcoin. Now, he said this in July. He's been saying it all along. Now you look at Bitcoin dominance. Bitcoin dominance is topping at, well, it's at 57.2%. It's been as high as 58%. So he's now saying, all the weaker than expected inflation data, job data, just means that central banks are going to start a looser monetary policy soon. And that's why Bitcoin dominance will top before the end of the year. So even Ben Cowen is now saying that altcoins are actually going to start running. And this is the starting point for our discussion today, is that even the biggest critics of altcoins, and I know Ben, and I've spent time with Ben, and you know Ben's version of being degen is buying some ETH. That's like, for him, that's like full degen, buying some ETH. Okay, now, even he's turning around and he's saying, look, it's altcoin season. Altcoin season's coming soon. Altcoin season's coming soon. Even he's turning around and saying, he's saying it. But then I read this tweet, and I think we need to read this tweet at least twice. So we're going to read it the first time. It says, we're encountering a rare opportunity that only comes around every 4 years, and we can't really predict how long it'll last. Alts could bottom here next month or in Q4, or who cares? Short-term fluctuations are irrelevant to me. Focus on accumulating coins that are in the first cycle and down 90% from their highs. I'm not touching dinosaur coins or stuff that went hard in 2021 outside of the top 10, with a view towards 2025, which promises to be extraordinary. Next year, you'll see these altcoins soaring, and you'll know deep down that you had a chance to get in early, but you missed it because you were focused on 5% scalping. What is he talking about here? Well, we are in a very, very, very unique opportunity. Because if you take this as the bottom for altcoins, and I mean, of course, altcoins can go to zero, but that's not realistic. If you look at how much downside there is for altcoins, as this tweet says, 30 billion downside, maybe 30 billion downside, maybe 40 billion downside on the total market cap of altcoins. But the upside is that if we just beat the highs of last cycle, then we are going to do a 4x on altcoins, just to get to the 3x, just to get us to the previous highs, is the 3x on all altcoins. Now, there's a lot of altcoins that are dead. There's a lot of altcoins that won't move, which means that this move is going to take the good altcoins up hugely. And if you look at the risk return or the risk reward here, the risk of the downside is quite low and the risk of the upside is quite high. And I think that the opportunity is exactly what it says. It happens once every 4 years. And it's happening now where there's a short window. There's a risk reward where we say, okay, we could go down. We could go down a little bit. But the upside versus the amount of downside that we can possibly have is much, much, much is asymmetrical. And so now it's probably the right time to actually start jumping into this altcoin chart and accumulating altcoins. Now, look, up until now, I acknowledge the altcoin cycle hasn't happened. True. In fact, the reason why the altcoin cycle never happened, we've been speaking about a lot. Retail was here. Retail came. Retail didn't buy altcoins. Instead, they spent $1 billion on memes. And that's what happened. So instead of the $1 billion, we spoke about this, but instead of the $1 billion actually going into altcoins, the $1 billion went into meme coins. That's what happened. And there was this meme coin frenzy. And even though you think that only $1 million went into meme coins, the majority of that $1 billion was actually captured in the Solana ecosystem. And we spoke about Pump.Fun. Pump.Fun did 7 times higher revenue than Ethereum in the last 24 hours. That's peak meme coin frenzy. Pump.Fun surpassed the 24-hour revenue of the top 20 protocols. And as I said to you yesterday, I think that Pump.Fun actually destroyed meme coins because meme coins aren't fun anymore. And so I think that I call the top. I basically said that if we look at this Pump.Fun chart, I think that the top in terms of Pump.Fun transactions actually happens today. Let's tweet stamp this on the 14th of August. I said that the meme coin market was at or near the top. It was at or near the top. But the value capture of the meme coin market was not only the Solana fees. There were trading bot fees. Pump.Fun captured $89 million worth of fees. There was MEV, minor extractable value or maximum extractable value from every transaction of about $200 million. And so if you look at just the fees generated on meme coins, it doesn't really paint the real picture of where all the value capture went in the cycle. The value capture in this cycle actually went to building this whole infrastructure. This infrastructure which trades meme coins. Now, again, what is it? It's platforms like Pump.Fun, it's platforms like Solana. But then it's also platforms like Radium, the trading, it's also trading bots, it's also MEV. A lot of all the money that could have gone into altcoin ecosystems was all captured in one niche on one ecosystem, which was called meme coins. And I think that the fun of meme coins is now pretty much done. Now, do I think memes are going to die? Abso-fucking-lutely not. I think this is just the beginning. But I think that meme coins in their current guise, where 150,000 meme coins are launching every 24 hours, those days are gone. So what do I think is going to happen to meme coins? I think meme coins are going to merge with prediction markets. Because if meme coins are about share of attention and prediction markets are about predicting an outcome, if you combine the two and you start predicting where attention is going to be, I think that's the evolution of meme coins. Give you a very simple example, which I spoke to Raoul Paul about yesterday. Imagine that I bet that next summer's colors are going to be blue and you bet that next summer colors are going to be orange. We can invest our money in the attention trend and we can earn based on whether or not people buy orange fabric or blue fabric. Okay, and I'll just give you an example of how you can use attention, which is memes, and prediction markets to actually create a use case where people actually make money on real world outcomes. And that's what I think how meme coins are somehow at some stage going to evolve. But that's not the show that I want to talk about today. We will talk about that show, but that's not the show. What I'm trying to show you is that people came and instead of buying Bitcoin and Ethereum, they spent over $1 billion on memes, and the $1 billion doesn't take all the money and all the value that was actually captured. And the biggest custodian of this was Pump.Fun. They accumulated, just get this, they accumulated 0.1% of the current supply of Solana in fees in the last 6 months. So one application for one fun thing that we did in altcoins. One platform accumulated 0.1% of the entire network in fees, over $80 million in fees for 6 months' work. That is why we fucking love crypto, because there's probably no other industry in the world that where you could do that. But the reality is that, as I said before, now meme coins are not fun. There's too many meme coins. It's too risky. Most of them don't make it out the bonding curve. People came to the meme coin casino to actually make money out of meme coins, and now no one's making money. In fact, there's more coins than people coming into the market, and it's the end of it. And the good news is that because it's the end of it, now we can get into the real business and go back to actually trading altcoins. And we can take the 1 billion that we were investing in meme coins, and we can go and invest it back in the real business of real revenue generated and real altcoins that are generated. The problem is, and the reason why none of us wanted to invest in altcoins, is because altcoins weren't fun. And the reason why altcoins weren't fun is because the market structure of altcoins was broken. We spoke about this a lot. And I think it's quite apt that we're speaking about this on the day where we got the inflation numbers, and the inflation numbers came in better than expected. Because the problem with altcoins was exactly that. It was inflation. It wasn't like Powell's inflation. It was our own inflation. Because the way that token sales were structured, where there were large lockups, and then those large lockups had very low tokens in circulation and very high FDVs, every month more and more and more tokens would unlock. And I tweeted about this yesterday. I said, the biggest issue with a sideways market with a token unlock structure is that you lose 5 to 10% a month in unlocks and inflation. Now, the problem is that if you have 6 months of sideways movement, all of a sudden, you're 50% down on a token or 60% down on the token. If you're 60% down on a token, to get back to where you started, you need to make 150%. And the problem is that 150% increase in altcoins just to stay exactly where you are is not fun. And if you've been in a token like Arbitrum, where there's been these huge token unlocks, you realize that pretty much what's happening is you're drowning in token unlocks, because the water level, the water level is going up because more tokens are coming into the market, but there's nowhere for that water to go because there's no buyers. And therefore, every month, more and more tokens come into the market. Now, you want to see how bad this problem actually is? I'll show you how bad this problem actually is. And I mean, big shout out to the researchers, because This is proper research. So here is the total market cap, 567 billion. This is the total market cap of altcoins, okay? Here is the total unlocks that we had in June, July, and August. We're not even through August yet. So let's just take June and July. We had about $8 billion worth of token unlocks hit the market in July, in those 2 months. $8 billion on a $566 billion market happening every single month. What happens when you get 6 months of sideways movement? All of a sudden, you got 10% more in the market cap. If you don't get 10% more buyers, effectively, the whole market just goes down and down and down and down and down, because more tokens are coming onto the market because of the token unlocks. And I mean, just look at the Celestia chart. Look at this. In September, is it September? In October, November, look at this. Look how many more tokens are going to hit the market. Now, if we don't get new buyers into the market, then the prices are just going to go down, because all these tokens are just going to hit the market. And so up until now, the reason why we've played meme coins is because we didn't want to drown in token unlocks. But the reality is that even though there are a big subset of tokens where the number of tokens in circulation is very low relative to the FDV, and you will drown in token unlocks, there is also another cohort of tokens which is completely different. In fact, let me see if I can quickly find you a list, because I think I had a list. Let me quickly see if I can find you a list. I had a list of tokens which the researchers sent me, which were not fully diluted tokens. I'll find it for you in 1 second. Let me find it for you guys, because I know I had it. Researchers, if you're watching, they're supposed to be watching the show. if you could just drop the list that Chris sent us. I'll show you a list of tokens that actually are not diluted, don't have these massive token unlocks which are going to be happening. And those tokens may actually be really, really, really safe to go into. I'm going to show you a list. But one of the tokens that I actually spoke about yesterday was Phantom. So this is a screenshot from Frontrunners, which is our Discord group. It's where really all the alpha happens. In fact, straight after the CPI index, they had a CPI call. They looked at all the charts. Last night, I posted this trade in Frontrunners. Before we go on, guys, if you want to join Frontrunners, we are letting people in, but only for like 1 or 2 days. Now, again, as I said to you, join for a month. If you're unhappy, just send me a mail. I'll refund you all your money and you can leave and you've lost nothing. Just hit this link over here, sign up, and I promise you that you're going to get so much alpha that you're not even going to care about it. Anyway, I see the researchers, some of the researchers are watching the show. Congratulations to the researchers that are watching the show. There is a whole list of tokens here. Here is the list, which are good tokens, which don't have all these unlocks. And we'll go through all of these. We'll go through all these. But one that I spoke about yesterday was Phantom. And I really think that you need to be paying attention to Phantom. And I'll show you why you should be paying attention to Phantom. So first of all, let's talk about Phantom as a token. Phantom is the ultimate bull market token. When markets run, if you've been in crypto, what you know is that Phantom runs like a fucking racehorse, okay? When markets drop, Phantom drops like a lead brick, okay? That is like a block of lead. Yes. So, when do you buy Phantom? You buy Phantom in a bear market, and you hold it into the bull market, and you let it go in the bull market, because what you know, in the bull market, Phantom always runs faster. And in the bear market, Phantom always drops. Now you could say we're in a bear market, in a short-term bear market. And if you look at Phantom, Phantom is back at the levels that it was in February, which was the lows. But what we also know is that Phantom is upgrading their software, and they are becoming a new protocol called Sonic. Now, Sonic is basically a parallel, they call it a parallel L2, which is EVM compatible, 10,000 TPS with 1 second confirmation. And this update is pretty much done. It's going to a vote, and people who are holding Phantom tokens will get the new Sonic token, right? That's what's happening at the moment. Now, the person who was the original founder of Phantom, or the original CTO of Phantom, was Andrey Krenyar. He's probably one of the smartest DeFi minds in the world, but, you know, he's temperamental. He quit a few times, and, you know, when the pressure gets to him, Andrey left. But he's now come back, and he's announced that he is the CTO of the new Sonic Labs. So he's come out and he's basically said, look, I'm the new CTO of Sonic Labs. And not only did he say that, but he also said that he has about 4 unreleased DeFi primitives, and he says, should I continue releasing all my shelved DeFi primitives? So he has, not only does he have Sonic, which is the amazing new technology, and not only, as he said, he's the new CTO, but he's also now said that he's got a whole bunch of DeFi things up his sleeve, right? So he said this. And I'm starting to hear, and I'm starting to pick up momentum that this thing's happening. Like, we know Sonic's happening. We know that the upgrade to all the validators is happening. I saw a progress chart earlier. I don't know if I've actually got the progress chart, but progress is actually happening. We know it's all happening, and we know you can swap your Phantom tokens for Sonic tokens. And we also know that this chart is near the bottom. And so that's why yesterday I came out in Frontrunners and I said, look, we may get it cheaper. We may go back down to 33 cents. But I know that Phantom is such a reactive token that just look at this. When it ran to $1.22. Okay, like, it's going to go at some point. Now, I don't know if it's going to be now or later, but I want to start positioning myself here because I think that when this happens, this is a good one to be buying. Let's go back to the list. Here's a list of tokens. This list of tokens is all nearly fully diluted. Basically, Curve, Phantom, Arweave, Evo, ThorChain, Injective, Casper, Maker, all these tokens that you see here, Super, all these tokens, you're not going to drown in token releases. And so you're not playing this game over here. And these are really good quality tokens, tokens that I'd be looking at. Like, for example, Arweave. We're having a banter with Sam, who's the founder of Arweave, on Friday. And I think we'll learn a lot about what's going on at Arweave. So I think that you can start looking at these tokens now. I think the share of attention is going to start moving away from meme coins and back into actual altcoins. I think the risk return is back to this once every 5 year thing. And I think when you combine all those things together, if you just sprinkle a little bit of patience and say, I don't know if it happens now in Q1 or in Q4, but it is going to happen. Don't get caught out with the last part of this tweet, which is next year you'll see all these coins soaring, and deep down you'll say that you had a chance to get in early, but you missed it because you were scalping a 5% move at the stone cold bottom. And that's really what I think the takeout is here. Another thing about this is that I think that there's going to be another DeFi narrative. And now, yes, look, you know, DeFi. Ultimately, if you think about what we're building in crypto, ultimately all we're building is decentralized finance. Decentralized finance means that you can trade memes across the globe quickly amongst your friends, really, really quickly, at the speed of sound, at very little fees. That's just a form of decentralized finance. Everything that we are building is all about decentralized finance. And the DeFi protocols are going to start having a recovery. Now, you can see that Curve's already had a recovery, 60% up from the 5th of August. I called it and I said to you guys that it was a forced liquidation and you should be buying Curve, and it's up from the 5th of August. But we also had another big announcement yesterday. And I don't know how many people actually clicked how big this announcement was. And that's why I want to quickly talk about this. The announcement was just a tweet from Coinbase that said that they're launching this thing called CBBTC. And they said, let me just kill this. And they said that that's all they just tweeted that they're going to launch CBBBTC. Now, what is CBBTC? It's Coinbase wrapped Bitcoin. What is Coinbase wrapped Bitcoin? Basically, you send Coinbase your Bitcoin, they hold your Bitcoin, and they wrap it and they drop it onto the Base network. Okay, it's wrapped Bitcoin, but on the Base network. Coinbase wrapped Bitcoin. Now, look, generally, I don't think anybody should store their coins on any exchange. But if you're going to store your coins on an exchange, probably Coinbase, where BlackRock store their coins and all the other ETF providers store their coins, probably the safest regulated exchange in the world to hold your coins, if you're going to do it. Personally, I would hold my coins on the new ledger. We spoke about that yesterday. Is there a link to the new ledger here? Yeah, there is. Yeah. Personally, if I were you, fuck Coinbase and fuck any... And what I say fuck? Then YouTube like censors the show and shit. Screw Coinbase and get yourself a proper ledger. There's a link below to get one of these like iPhone-looking ledger things. They're amazing. It's actually designed by the guy who did the iPhone. Anyway, let's go back to the story. Why is this such a big thing? Because Coinbase hold a lot of Bitcoin. They have like 5% of the Bitcoin in circulation. I think someone tweeted it. Let me just find that tweet. It said, got to find this tweet. Yeah. Coinbase just holds 5% of the Bitcoin supply on its balance sheet. Now, if they wrap a small amount of that supply and they bring it onto the Base network, you can now start earning yield and farming yield on your wrapped Bitcoin in a DeFi ecosystem on the Base network. This could be a catalyst for a whole lot of DeFi plays. So I think we're going to get another DeFi run. I think it could be spurred by this Coinbase BTC thing that not everybody's talking about at the moment. And I think most importantly, the part that you guys are going to look out for, who's going to benefit from this? The one protocol that I'm almost sure is going to benefit from this is Aerodrome. Why? Because Aerodrome is the biggest DEX on Base, right? And if people start doing more transactions, Aerodrome is probably a good place to be. So let's just look at Aerodrome's 1 year chart, also been like dropped significantly. And again, if you believe that alts are going to beat their all-time highs and you're buying Aerodrome at 65 cents and it goes above its all-time high and it goes to $3, there's a 5x in Aerodrome. I'd say relatively good risk return. And that risk return again plays into the same chart here where your downside, okay, maybe we'll go down, maybe. But when and if we turn and go up, then what happens? Then you basically say, oh man, I was fighting for 5% near the bottom. So that's effectively what I wanted to show you guys, that we could actually get this DeFi resurrection because of this Coinbase BTC, Wrapped BTC. That plus Andre Crenier plus all of that. And when we do, you just have to be ready for it. A couple of other things. So I know a lot of you are getting your D-Bridge airdrop points, and I'm very happy that a lot of you managed to do it. This is D-Bridge Season 1. For those of you who don't know what D-Bridge is, we have spoken about this. What it is it's a bridge between any network and any network. So you can see, like, now here I've got 0.2 ETH, and they're on the base network. Let's say that I want to migrate those onto ETH, onto the ETH network. All I do is I take those 0.2, and I go here, and I say I want to receive them on the ETH network, and I want to move the ETH to here. And basically, I can then move all my ETH from base to the ETH network. And all I need to do to confirm the trade is, I don't know if I've got enough gas, but let's see if I've got enough trade. Confirm the trade. And it's making me sign a transaction on which you can't see. It's just asking me to confirm the transaction, which I just did. Transaction broadcast. As you can see, just move next comment. Order created. And probably within 4 to 5, that's it, order fulfilled. That's it. 4 to 5 seconds to move money from any network to any network. Simple. Now, you can only do that on D-Bridge. If you want to do it and earn points in the second airdrop, and a lot of people earned a lot of money in the first airdrop, go over here, use this link over here, sign up and get points for the, for the next airdrop. And I mean, again, it's free money, and it's free money. It's free tokens in what I think is one of the most amazing protocols out there, and a bridge which will save you a ton of cash, a ton of cash. So that's that. Lastly, before we go today, I need a favor from you guys, right? You know, like at Banter, we love winning. We love winning. Everything we do, we win, right? That's what we do. That's what we do around here. Now, someone brought this to my attention, right? This is a platform that we're partnered up with. It's called DYOR Labs. It's a tool that allows you to do your own research, basically. Now, someone also showed me, which was very disappointing, actually, that we weren't winning here. Altcoin Daily had more followers than us. Crypto Lark had more followers than us. Even Martini Guy had more followers than us. And Crypto Banter is like somewhere over here, number 8. Now, look, guys, we don't lose around here. What you need to do is go and check out this platform. Sign up using the DYOR Labs link over here. And just sign up. It costs nothing. Just go and check out the platform. But just click that link and let's make sure that we win, basically. All right. Is there anything else that we wanted to do today? Remember, if you haven't got a ledger and you've got coins and exchanges, just spend the money and get yourself a proper ledger. There's a link below. Tomorrow, I will be funding some Bitfunded accounts. So if you haven't already got a Bitfunded account, go to bitfunded.com and take out an account. If you're not a member of Frontrunners, this is your last chance to get your money back with your money back guarantee. Go and sign up. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, you've got a once in 5 year opportunity, Josh, and you should use it. See you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.